Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We have the great Kelvin Gastelum in studio with us. Bubba Jenkins.
What a do-do, dog.
Bellator fighter. Got a big November 20th big fight coming up.
Absolutely.
Kelvin's got a huge fight coming up against Matt Brown. November, right?
Yeah, November 21st, Matt Brown, UFC model.
So you got 20th Bubba, 21st Kelvin.
When I'm beating somebody up, he'll be weighing in. It's all good.
How fucking cool is that? And Tyler's got a fight coming up. Tyler Bowe is here as well. I want to thank our sponsors. You're an MMA fanatic and you're proud of it. You know all the fighters. You watch all the matches. You're listening to an MMA podcast right now. It's time to put your knowledge of the sport to the test at DraftKings.com, the exclusive daily fantasy sport partner of the UFC. At DraftKings, you can win huge cash prizes every time you play. Just select five fighters, stay under the salary cap, outscore your competition, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. Score points for significant strikes, takedowns, advances, knockdowns, and more. These are the biggest daily fantasy MMA contests anywhere, and only at DraftKings.com, and only DraftKings has them. Play to win your piece of the $1 billion in prizes DraftKings is giving away this year. Don't miss out. So, call to action. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ROASTED to play daily fantasy MMA for free this weekend during UFC Fight Night. DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy sports partner of the UFC. Enter ROASTED to play for free now at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. Also, tip a fighter. Listen, we all know how underpaid fighters are, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've had people on the podcast. They're ranked number 15 in the world. They're driving a bus. They're AAA people. They're doing this. They're school people. Just ridiculous, okay? These fighters are underpaid, and now Bubba Jenkins has devised a plan to get these guys paid. Go to tipafighter.com. The fans can tip the fighters for performance. There's no reason, fighters, you shouldn't be on this. You're in the octagon, in the cage, anyway. Okay, maybe you're also kickboxers can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Boxers can do it.
All fighters.
All fighters. Listen, you entertain me every single weekend, fighters. Okay, I want to be able to thank you by throwing you some money. So go to tipafighter.com. Also, American Icon Autographs, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. They have signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, and everything else in between. Their past signings have included Fedor, Sakuraba, Rampage, Big Nog, Hoist Gracie, Marlies Colon, and no. Go to their website to find out who's signing next. Go to their events, meet the celebrities, and build your man cave, AIASE.com. Right now, I am drinking the most delicious coffee I've ever had in my entire life, Chimera Coffee. It's a premium, high-altitude coffee sourced from the Dominican Republic, infused with high-quality nootropics. What are nootropics? They're brain vitamins. What do? They help counteract things like Alzheimer's, brain injuries, dementia, and Parkinson's. If you want to increase your focus, nourish your brain, and reap the proven benefits of coffee all in one, Chimera Coffee is for you. ChimeraKoffee.com. Promo code MMA Roasted. Also, Decipher. Guys, I tell you, by the way, Decipher is giving one of our hosts right now can use Decipher for free for an hour. It's a lifestyle firm designed to make your life better. Today's world is full of difficulty. Why not make it easier? Decipher is a company designed to cover a wide range of issues with all the goals and making life painless. They specialize in life coaching, mental coaching, negotiations, personal advising, and even business consulting. All services designed to help you maximize your full potential. So I'm telling you, they've coached guys, celebrities, MMA fighters, porn stars, boxers, and more. Just use the code DODGEBALL. Call them up and start talking to them right now. DI-cypher.com. Use Dodgeball for 10% off. And finally, have gang members taken over your place? Is your place filled with graffiti? Well, go to Remove It Restoration. They will take care of it for a fraction of the cost. Your business image is important. Go to removeitrestoration.com, 1-888-424-9697. Bam. We're ready to start. Nice. How's it going, Kelvin?
Nice. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm so honored to have you, man. You're one of my favorite fighters. I've been a fan of yours since The Ultimate Fighter.
I don't believe you.
you were one of the only people to ask me to roast you. You were like, Adam, when am I getting roasted? And
that's
at the time, you were 19 years old, 20 years old?
Yeah.
20?
That is true, yeah.
And Bubba was one of your coaches?
Yeah, I coached him on the way in the house. He won the fight.
To get into the house.
To get into the house. And I told Bones, listen. He's like, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think? I'm like, listen, we need Kevin Gastelum. Well, why would we get him? I was like, he's a decent boxer right now, and he's got really good wrestling. Plus, he's got a lot of heart because he had to squeeze that fight out.
That was a tough fight.
The good recipes to, you know, a guy who can advance and win in the next 6 weeks.
So you realize this kid was going to be good from the start because he was picked last.
Man. From the start.
He was picked
They didn't
last.
Listen to me, and he ended up winning it. And I was just like, and I kept telling John, I was like, yo, we need to get him. And like, I don't care what picks. And he was like, oh, we should get Clint and we should get these guys. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but eventually let's pick up Gastelum. I'm like, yo, the wrestling is going to kill in this type of environment as far as like, you know, you win what first round, you win the second round. There is no third round. You know, those are just takedown type of rounds. Takedown the round.
Now, you were the state champ of Arizona, right?
Yeah, in 09.
Now, when did you start wrestling?
Middle school, seventh grade. Yeah,
and you must have took it. You're one state. That's pretty. That's not easy to do.
I mean, it's not too much of a big deal, but
I would disagree.
But at the time, I mean, yeah, it was a big deal for me.
So now, did you win your senior year? How did you do
my senior year, freshman,
sophomore, junior?
My senior year.
Now you went to Northern Idaho.
Yeah, Northern Idaho College.
But you only lasted there a year.
Only a year.
What happened there?
Yeah, I didn't do so good in school.
You wanted to punch people in the face. That's what it was.
Now I came back, and you know, my mom needed help financially around the house. You know, I needed to work and contribute more in the house. So I started working, and then training was just something I did on the side.
Did you wrestle for them?
Where?
At Northern Idaho?
Yeah.
Where is Northern Idaho?
It's a little town called Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
I've been to Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene,
really?
Okay.
Do, like a triple gigs up that way? Yeah.
No,
you ever been up there? It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
love it.
I wouldn't want to stay there for 4 years. But
now, were you the only Mexican there?
So I was living with two black guys. Yeah. I was living with two black guys, and
two brothers,
and they were my roommates. And I always said that 90% of the minority population was living in that apartment.
so you didn't feel comfortable. You were there. You were just like, you read that.
No, I felt fine. All right.
It was Idaho. It was Idaho. Only thing, what is it? Potatoes? Is that what they're known for?
Potato, yeah.
Come on, dog.
Potato state.
Potatoes and racism, I think.
Did you hook up with any chicks there? Any Northern Idaho girls?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. There you go. Some nice white farm girls.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, so you wrestled for them for the first year. I mean, you also did you do well, or did you?
So I walked on the team. I didn't even get a scholarship. I decided to just walk on the team and made it on the team and was ranked in the top five that first semester that I wrestled.
And then what happened?
And then I was ineligible the second semester.
Oh, because of the grades.
Yeah.
Oh, that coach must have flipped.
Yeah. Well, they helped me get eligible and stuff, but they just didn't want me to. They just wanted me to focus more on the studies.
Yeah, gotcha.
What was your weight class in college?
174.
Yeah.
Now you've been so frustrating for the fans.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you go out there, you beat Jake Ellenberger in one round, who was our co-host. I was like,
oh yeah,
that was rough. It was rough for. I mean, I didn't know who to root for. I like both of you. Yeah. I mean, Jake was my co-host. I had to root for the co-host, yeah. But I'm always looking. But that kind of a fight, I want both of them to win. I'm like, I hope it's a draw. Then your next fight against Tyron Woodley. You miss weight by so there's all kinds of stories there. Some people say you miss weight by 9 pounds.
Other
people said you were like 3 pounds over, went to the hospital, rehydrated, and then came in 9 pounds.
Right.
What's the truth?
Yeah. So I went to the hospital. I guess they weighed me there, so I was 3 pounds over. And then they decided to fill me up with a little bit of fluids because I was very dehydrated. And then, you know, they were communicating with the doctor. The nurse that was attending me was communicating with the UFC doctor. And they told him, okay, we'll stop whatever you guys are doing and bring him over to the weigh-ins. And so I went over to the weigh-ins.
But to go to the hospital, you must have been sick as hell, right?
Yeah.
Did your body just shut down?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I was earlier that week.
You're so laid back about this.
You almost died, not a big deal. But.
Okay. Yeah. Well. A little backstory. I was writing for the MMA Awards that weekend.
Yeah.
And you won the award
for
best, like, for the
breakthrough fighter,
fighter of the year, but he couldn't accept it because he was in the hospital for missing weight. It was just like, and then Luke Barnett was going to accept the award, and then they wouldn't let him. But,
I remember that.
So you were now you're in the hospital at this point. You're like, were you thinking about just saying fuck it? I probably shouldn't fight tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking about not fighting. So. By that time I was just like, oh, whatever, you know, I don't think Tyron's going to accept the fight. So by then I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to show up, not make weight. And then the fight's going to be called off, is what I thought. But no, we actually decided on ending up on making up the fight. You know, they said, okay, relax, tomorrow, let's find out if you're ready for the fight or not. And,
now did Dana come to the hospital and visit you?
No, he came the day after to see me.
And did anybody say, anyone from the UFC say, listen, you don't have to fight tomorrow? Or were they trying to push you to fight?
No, nobody really pushed me to fight. But I just felt obligated to fight. You know, I was just like, you know, I signed a contract. I didn't make weight, but I felt obligated to fight.
Now, I remember that fight. And that was a very close fight. And I really thought that... Yeah, I couldn't tell. It was one of those fights. I was going back and forth. Part of me thought you won. Part of me said it could have been a draw. I could see how the judges gave it to Tyron. It wasn't like you could argue both ways on that fight.
I just remember wanting it to be over with. You know, I was just like, let's just get over with it. I don't care if I go out there and get knocked out. I mean, that was my mentality going on there before. And, you know, that was obviously not the right mentality.
Yeah, I mean, you were blocking punches with your head. I've never seen anything like it before. You honestly, at the time, your hands were down. You were letting Tyron Woodley punch you in the face.
I don't know if I let him.
But you weren't letting him, but he was punching. Yeah. And I'm like, Kelvin Gastelum might be the toughest human being I've ever seen in my fucking life. I remember that now you bring it up. And I was like, damn, okay, so you lose that fight. Now, at that point, Dana says you have to go back to 185. But you said, right. I don't know how good I'll be at 185, correct?
Right. Well, I just know 170s is the place for me. That's my home, and that's where I feel comfortable. At 185s, you got Rockhold, you got Weidman standing 6'2", 6'3 feet. They got a huge reach advantage. You know, I don't see my chances very good at that weight class.
Now, how do you think Hendricks will do at that weight class?
Well, I compare myself a lot to him.
Yeah.
We kind of have the same body style. He's obviously also had some weight issues. But I think he'll do fine, honestly.
Is he going to 185? Is that the new
thing? Saying
that's
that,
what Dana
they're not
said.
Letting him back up. I mean he cost him a fortune. I mean, if I were them, I'd be pissed. That was the one fight I was looking forward to.
Woodley and Hendricks.
I was looking forward to that fight. I really was.
That's true.
I don't know, but it's one of those things. He's a big guy, but I think that there almost should be like a 175 weight. They almost have changed the weight classes or something because it is a big gap between 170 and 185. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah. It's a totally different body frame from 170 to 185. Yeah.
Now you're at you're at 10th Planet. You're training with Eddie Bravo.
Yeah.
You left Alliance.
Yeah.
So what's your new camp like?
So right now I'm going over to Kings over in Huntington, and then on when I'm not going over to Kings, I'm over at Eddie Bravo's in 10th Planet.
Now, how's Kings? You're training with like Dos Anjos and those guys?
Yeah. Fabricio Verdun, Dos Anjos is in there. Who else? They got a lot of studs.
They got a lot of faces in there.
They got a lot of studs. A couple they got a lot of studs.
How's the sparring over there?
Oh,
intense.
Intense, to say the least, because everybody tries to knock your head out.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like there's no games. Everybody's going to knock you out.
It's harder than Alliance?
I mean, the sparring is just to another level. You know, they take it to another level. They try to not literally knock you out in sparring.
Yeah, no, I got hit with a knee one time. I was, you know, in MMA, there's a kind of thing, unless you have knee pads on, and I have knee pads on, and we both agreed, okay, you know, we're going to throw knees.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever throws knees or elbows.
Exactly.
And, you know, I was just kind of squatting down like I was going to do a midsection punch kind of thing, like straight to the body. And I went to a straight to the body dude, blocked it, like did a little salsa move on me, came up, and just kneed me right in my sternum. And I was just like...
Did he have any... knee pads on?
No, he had nothing. He didn't have shin guards on.
Same thing happened to me.
He didn't even have shin guards on.
I know Bobo said one of the reasons he left American Top Team was because every day was like wild sparring. It was like the Wild West. Is there a danger in that?
I guess there is, but there's also a lot of benefits, you know, to really sparring, to really know what that grind is like, to really get that real training. There's no comparison to that other than fighting. So I think the next best thing for training for that is sparring, and that's hard sparring.
Yeah, it's such a double-edged sword, though, because it's like you got to spar hard to like get that real like live-action feel.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it's like, do you taper off before a fight so you don't get injured?
But that's a big change, because I had heard, I don't know if I'm going to say it in the podcast, but I had heard about you and your infamous practicing, that you come late, you haven't showered.
That's fun.
It's been a long night, guys.
Like,
I think I'm just going to hit the bag.
Everybody beat you, go half 50%. Everyone beats you in sparring.
No, who said that?
That's just what I hear.
No.
But I heard when it comes fight time, you're a whole different fighter.
Is that right?
Which a lot of times it's the opposite. Like, I used to hear a story about Mike Pyle, who at the gym they said was like a 37-time world champion. And then mentally, he began to fight. It just wasn't.
Right.
But is there some truth to that?
I mean, no. I mean, sometimes I'm late to practice, yes, but it's not intentional. Traffic is heavy out here in LA.
No. I know Eddie Bravo. I went to 10th Planet Burbank. That's where I tore my ACL. I got to get surgery December 23rd.
Oh, that sucks.
But I know he does a lot of that, like, half guard game, rubber guard.
Yeah.
And I know that really seems to benefit certain body types.
Yeah.
Like Ben Saunders would be a perfect body type for that. Even Eddie. Now, guys like you, short, a little bit thick.
Yeah.
Are you able to adjust on that?
So we're not working on the same material that they're doing it because of my body frame. So we're working on different strategies, different techniques to benefit from my body size.
Okay.
Yeah.
So am I going to see some crazy, like,
We're working on a few tricks, a few $50,000 tricks.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now you're fighting Matt Brown, who's another one guy who's coming on the podcast Monday. I tried to do a press conference. He said, I have no, he doesn't want to do it. He didn't want to do the press conference.
That's okay.
Sometimes it gets harder in those press conferences.
He said, I have no interest in doing a press conference. I understand. Now Matt Brown is a guy who is hard to break. If breaking even possible to break this guy.
Right.
I mean, he's a guy. If you're going to war, a guy like Matt Brown is a guy that you want, because he seems to every fight he gets hurt in the first.
I agree.
Comes back and just. So are you preparing this an all-out fucking assault?
Yeah, of course.
It's a five-round fight, right?
It's a five-round fight. I'm preparing for five fights.
No wonder you're looking so lean right now.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing my homework. I've been doing my work. I'm preparing for five fives, and I'm preparing for the best Matt Brown, you know, and the best Matt Brown is a dangerous.
Yeah. Do you try to get in there and like grind it with him, or try to be more technical? Because he'll stand and brawl, or he'll do whatever. Like,
you know, I think I got to be smart, because he's gonna get aggressive, overly aggressive, and I just got to be smart. You know,
both of you guys are unbreakable. I mean, even in your Rick Story fight, I mean, he hit you.
Yeah,
and that guy hits hard. Rick Story, I think, is probably the most underrated fighter in the UFC, maybe ever.
Rick,
I mean, he's got a win over Hendricks, right?
Yeah.
Rick Story, how hurt were you in that fight?
Well, he hit me that one time, I wobbled, and then everything was back to normal, but then he was on the prowl, you know, he was attacking, full leash, and then, we got into a little brawl, and then he caught me and knocked me down. I think it was more of an out-of-balance thing.
My footwork weren't quite there.
Yeah, my footwork, slipped up a little bit.
Is that the first time you ever been wobbled, though?
In a fight, yeah. Yeah, in a fight, yes.
Have you ever been wobbled in a fight?
Yeah. I was actually throwing a head kick at Thiago Miller, and he stepped in and hit me with an overhand. Boom. And I kind of did like one of those like choppy footsteps and then tried a head kick instead of just, you know, lifting my foot up and head kicking, and he caught me in the middle of my little salsa dance chop chop. And I put my foot up, and I was literally on one foot about to, you know, get it up there, and he just overhand me, boom, stepped in.
Now, what's that like? I mean, first time you ever been wobbled.
It's like taking six shots of Patron and then standing up.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, a lot of times it really doesn't hurt. It's just that you know something just happened, and now your equilibrium, your balance is off. Your right leg is a little bit, a little bit shorter than your left leg. You're just trying to, like, get your, whoa, there's four of him now. Which one is he?
Exactly. You know what I mean?
It's just like being drunk immediately, like taking a shot and then being drunk right then and there.
Now, how are you enjoying the L.A. pussy?
No, not right. No LA pussy for me.
Why? Your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Who's this girl?
Yeah, I got a girl. She's from Orange County.
No. Oh, wow. White girl?
Yeah.
Oh. How'd you know?
Orange County.
Yeah. Where'd you meet this girl?
At the gym that I train.
Oh, okay. She's a fighter too?
No. She's just trained. Strength and conditioning.
Nice. Oh, that's why you're looking all lean.
Yeah, she's been helping me out quite a bit, too.
A little sexercise, anyone? Nah, definitely working out.
I got
a date tonight. Any suggestions on where I should bring this date?
Mickey D's, dog.
Mickey D's, really?
Mickey D's.
You got a date.
I'd bring...
You got a date.
No, it's a second date. First date went well. Lots of making out on the first date.
Oh, so this is the one that you had in the car the other day.
Yeah, the car accident.
Oh, me and Bo know a little story about it.
She's a hot chick.
Okay. Maybe not Mickey D's.
She's already felt the junk.
Nice.
A little bit, but nothing. But over the pants.
OTP.
OTP.
Over the pants.
I said, what do you want to do? She's like, she knows I'm leaving tomorrow for Arizona. So she's like, you know, whatever you want. Any suggestions? Kelvin?
Going away. Just snuggle her up in the movie, man.
Netflix and chill.
I would bring her up here. I would bring her up here to the new podcast studio. You guys that are listening right now, we're in like an old school, like a billiards room looking. There's like dark leather couches.
I feel like I should have a cigar.
Exactly. And, we need scotch and cigars.
Tyler,
right
but I'm not bringing her to the podcast studio, you creep. She's okay, I'm honestly asking you where I should bring this shit.
Honestly, you should take her to something sushi.
Sushi.
Because sushi, they usually dim the lights, and it's like nice and romantic. No matter what kind of sushi place it is,
you're right.
More times
sushi.
Than not.
That's a good
get a little sake in her?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. No, she could drink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can drink. Mm-hmm.
Sake will get her wild.
And sushi's more of an elegant thing. You kind of, either you're going to get the chopsticks and you're going to show how your hands work and all that stuff. I mean, there's reasons to, there's reasons why I'm married and got a kid. You know what I mean?
I'm going to start finger banging the chopsticks during the date. Is that what you're
saying? Hey, that's your strategy. I don't know how that's going to work out for you, but right. I just said take her there.
It's funny, you're from Arizona. I'm going to Arizona tomorrow. And first time I did to Arizona, I had a show at Laughs in Tucson and
ASU.
I got thrown out of there actually because it was the old owner. I get there and like the guy's like, "Be clean." I only had like 6 minutes to clean, so I was featuring. I was just dirty as hell, and I ended up doing well. The headliner complained about me, and then the guy brings me into his office, and he's like, "On the Craig Kilborn tape, that's how long ago it was. Yeah. You said you were clean, okay, and now you're dirty." He goes, "I haven't even been on Kilborn," so I was like, "Obviously." And then the guy threw me out. So I was driving home from Arizona, right?
But did he pay you?
I got paid $400 for the week, but it took out like $6 for a sandwich, for a tuna fish sandwich. So I got $3.94.
Okay.
And I think I made out with the waitress that he liked too on the way out.
Nice.
I'm driving back at my car. I get a flat tire on the side of the road. I have to like fix the tire on the side of the road. There's no lights. Right? Cars, there's no like...
Oh, you in Tucson.
Off ramp. I mean, just one lane. I look up. There's a moon. All I see is the moon is the light. And it says, "Arizona State Prison, do not pick up hitchhikers."
I was just
like, Jesus, this is like the... But I ended up doing all right. I ended up getting out of there. That was the first time. Second time I did Tucson, I performed at a strip club. In Phoenix, one of the hottest chicks ever. So it was
Which one?
Sunday night.
No. I'm just kidding.
I knew them.
First time I ever got like... they wanted me to do an encore. They were like, encore. That's how good the set went, which is shitty as a comic because you're not saving your best song for last.
You usually close with your best stuff.
So I go out, and then Miss Nude World was performing, right? She was a feature dancer.
Okay.
So she brings me up on stage during her act, puts wax all over my balls, like gets me in my boxer shorts on the stage, and then starts riding me. Like, not like naked-wise. I end up going home with her that night, going back, I ended up hooking up with the waitress. It was just like the best. I ended up getting three tickets on the way home. Three tickets. Yeah. A parking ticket.
What? That sounds like Arizona for you.
No, three tickets, but it was still worth it.
That sounds like Arizona.
There goes your $394.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah, Bubba went to ASU. You know that, right?
I know that.
But it was worth it. It seems like it was worth it. And I like your shirt because the colors are very similar.
Thank you.
But no, it seems like going to Arizona is usually worth it for you. A little advice during Sushi Tonight, do not tell that story. Don't bring that up to her. Hey, last time I was in Arizona, let's skip that part.
But Kelvin, I've been clubbing with you. You're a fun dude. His friends, what? First time I met Kelvin, it was me, him,
that was
not, and his buddies from home. His buddies are home are what he would look like if like he didn't train. Just like short, 120 pounds overweight. Just like
ready to party.
Dude, these guys were were so proud of Kelvin, but they were like,
boys.
You forget how young Kelvin is till you meet his friends. And then you're, because at the time you were like 21. No. I'm like, okay, this is why he's not making weight. He's 21 years old. Like even now you're only 23, right?
Yeah.
And you're still young, man.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you're so young and talented. I think it's got to be tough. No amateur career.
No.
Right to the pros.
That's
win the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I bet you won a lot of people a lot of money. Because you always I feel like you always come in like an underdog, or you always come in not the favorite, and you've upset so many people, man. You talked to him about Tip of Fighter yet?
I've had a few fights.
And I was going to get to that point. I saw Kelvin at, when were we in Vegas? What was that for? The Expo.
Yeah.
And I tried to get Kelvin up into the room to talk to him, get him some drinks. Like, hey, Kelvin, come check this out. I got this thing, Tip of Fighter, that you'd be great for because so many people have made so much money off of you. You have a great following with the Ultimate Fighter show. And Kelvin was like, I'm too busy to talk to you, bro.
Ah, no.
Yo, bro, he treated me like a fan, son. You treated me like I wasn't there for his first fight on a UFC anything. I was in his corner. I gave a man water in between rounds. And when he blow up, he started treating me like a fan. I can't even talk to him about Tip of Fighter, dog.
No.
I didn't want to speak to him about it.
I was working that week.
Yeah.
Kelvin, would you like to... Okay, so you know what Tip of Fighter is, right? It's basically like you fight, we could throw you money.
He introduced me to it, yeah.
At the same time, Kelvin... Now, what did you do with that six-figure contract that you won from the Ultimate... Did you give it to your mom?
No.
Where did you do with
I told
the,
you,
you
I paid those
money?
Dudes.
I paid off whatever debt I was in. I paid off my debt, paid off my bills, helped my mom out a little bit. Yeah, of course. Got her a car, nice. Got myself a car. And we're doing good, man.
Such a nice guy, man. Such a nice guy. I can't wait for this Matt Brown fight. It's in Mexico. So, yeah. Now you coach the Ultimate Fighter in Mexico, right?
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighter Latin America Season 2.
What was that like?
That was cool. That was really cool. It was hard. It was hard, but it was good.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yeah.
So you understand everybody?
Fluently, yeah.
Fluently. Okay. Now, when you were in Mexico, but you didn't have a girlfriend. I know that Mexicans must have absolutely... We don't want to talk about this. Okay, now I'm just saying the Mexican chicks must have loved you, right? I mean, were you a hero over there?
I mean, I did good.
I did good.
How do you say
I'll keep it humble and say that.
I did good. Oh, man, that must have been... I would have loved to have hang out with you.
No,
in Mexico.
Really. How Jesus. Do you say dodgeball? Say dodgeball in Spanish.
No, don't teach dodgeball. Don't teach the fans dodgeball.
Listen, what is dodgeball in Spanish?
Don't teach our guests.
Dodgeball. I don't even think they have
have a Spanish word for dodgeball.
What happened was he came on the show and said all this stuff about his times at ASU banging, like having threesomes, and then his wife got mad at him.
Uh-oh.
So now he has to say dodgeball when he's going to answer a question.
Dodgeball.
So how was Mexico? You're like, dodgeball.
No,
sounds
I'm
good.
I'm serious. You must have partied pretty hard in Mexico, right?
Mexico's good, man. I'm telling you.
It's a good time.
Now you trained over at Alliance. Why did everyone leave Alliance?
I don't know why everybody left.
Really?
No, I was in the middle of the Latin American tour, and the next thing I know, I start hearing these rumors, and then I start seeing people at other gyms on Instagram. This was all through social media. I just And that was during my Latin American tour. I was going to Chile, Colombia, Argentina. I was in Spain. I was in England. So I was, you know, traveling quite a bit, and then I see
that last one was not part of the tour.
Like, he started naming all these Spanish places. Then he's like, "Oh, I was in England." I'm like,
whoa. That last one was part of the tour.
Oh, really? England was?
Well, I went to Luke Barnett's wedding, which was not.
He told me I was invited to.
Yeah.
And then he disinvited me.
Really?
He just didn't contact me.
Your invite got lost.
What? Yeah, I know. I was all excited about that too. By the way, can anyone? By the way, so yesterday we were talking about, to change up a little bit, Ronda Rousey is out. She's dating Travis Brown.
Yeah.
Everything went crazy in the last couple of days. Ronda Rousey's mom tweeted out something. Did you see that on Twitter?
I saw someone. I think you retweeted it.
I retweeted it.
Okay,
of
yeah.
So was that you?
Yeah. When you go on Twitter,
someone retweeted
it. Dr. Anne Marie, Ronda's mom. Her name is Dr. Anne Marie. Look, I love Ronda's mom. I think this is about what's going on. I don't know for sure, but
wasn't she there for that night?
If you just go on my timeline, okay.
Ronda's mom was there for that night that I actually went to your first
gig
in this same building.
Yeah,
yeah, she was here for.
I love Ronda's mom, but I don't think she's happy with her guy choices.
Oh yeah,
and she's taken to Twitter about it. Which
Ronda's
I don't know
mom. I remember I met Ronda's mom once, and she just stared me from head to toe.
Really?
Ooh,
well, you had a big crush on Ronda.
Yeah.
You did, right?
On the show, I did.
On the show, like I remember you saying, "Okay, so I'm gonna say what Ronda
stared me down."
She's looking if you're genetically fit for the future.
I was like, "What? That's crazy."
Yeah. So Ronda's mom tweeted out. I'm trying to find what exactly she said. Here we go. Boom. She says Ronda's mom.
But it was.
It was. It looked like it was. By the way, yesterday Ashley Evans helped coach my team. And did an amazing job.
Yes.
She helped coach my wrestling team.
She's
super cool. All right, so, Dr. Anne-Marie, if all your friends and family think someone is a douchebag, he's not misunderstood. He or she is a douchebag. # advice from mom.
She said, or
that was
she.
Subtle.
Welcome to the family, Travis. No, that's harsh advice, but like I've that's so true. Like there's you always have that friend that like a female friend who's like, oh, you just don't know him, you just don't know him, and it's like, no, if all of your friends think that your dude is an asshole, he's an asshole.
But do you think going on Twitter as the mom and saying this is the right way to do it, or should you just call her and tell
her
that?
Yeah, no, she probably already tried to call her and tell her, like, for people like that, Twitter's the last resort. You know what I mean? Like, usually it's a text message, then it's a call, then, you know, you drop an email or something like that, and then it's like, okay, I'm not getting through them. Twitter will do that. Twitter will put you on blast.
That's really
putting her
on
blast.
That's aggressively passive aggressive.
I mean, what would you do? I mean, would your mom do that?
Nah. I listen to my mom on a phone call. And we would have an agreement that, like, would not make it to Twitter. Like, okay, I understand that you don't dig this person, but I care for her, or I care, you know, whatever the situation is. I care for this person, and, you know, I'm going to learn my, you know, lumps in the road through my own personal experience. You know?
Now, did your mom, did she ever hit you as a kid?
My mom's a black woman, dog. What are you talking about? I got spanked all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you got spanked.
Yeah, well, I'm going to call it spanking.
Yeah.
But I lost a lot of MMA fights in my mom's house.
Started out 0-40.
Yes.
That was your first record. And Kelvin, your mom, did she ever spank you?
She's a Mexican. Yeah.
She's a Mexican. Now when like you don't make weight, what does your mom say?
No, she's disappointed.
She's spanked.
No, she was okay, but she worries, you know. She's always like, "How's your weight? What are you eating?" and stuff like that. I'm like, chill.
And did your mom tell you like you don't have to fight before the Woodley fight? Like, hey, don't fight.
No. She leaves my profession entirely up to me.
Yeah, they usually give like, you know, a little advice here, but they're not like. Usually moms in fighting, one, they don't want to be there because they don't want their kids in the fighting, you know.
Yeah.
But two, it's mostly like from a distance. They just say their little piece just to make sure that they have that motherly advice, you know. Hey, chin down, hands up, kind of, you know, just something small like that. But they're usually not like, you know, the first person you talk to after you don't make weight.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean?
Like they're not in there. They're not so invested that like they're a big role in it.
See, only, I never had a mother. Home. Like my mom left when I was three. And then I had a stepmom. I mean, we didn't get along at all. She didn't really want me and my best friend. But I mean, now we get along fine. But back then, it was like all kinds of chaos in my family. So I never had a mom to judge my, girlfriends. Really? You know? My dad, I think, because he's on his third marriage, I would have been like, well, look at the woman you pick, you know? Yeah. I always have that on.
Really,
like,
can't get advice from that guy. Like, no, she's the one. You sure, Dad?
Nobody likes your girlfriend. Nobody likes your wife.
Pretty much every girl I take home, my dad's like, marry her. I'm like, honestly, knock her up. No. He doesn't knock. I'm telling my dad, is just, at this point, he's like, give me some grandkids already. I don't think my dad has ever once told me to not date a chick. I think he was just, I think he's just happy that, like, I mean, she could be a porn star. He'll be like, of the porn star, he was like, you know, that's kind of, might be a tough lifestyle for you. But everything up until then.
Might be.
But he didn't throw it out on Twitter.
No, he would not have thrown it on Twitter. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I give her a lot of credit for that. I mean, her daughter is the biggest thing right now in sports, and she's just putting her on blast. I mean, if she didn't say hashtag advice for mom, maybe she could have been talking to someone else.
Could have been anything.
I kind of feel like she's at such a crazy point in her career, though, that, like, regardless of who the guy is, anything's going to make headlines or anything's going to be, like, sensationalized.
Well, especially that.
Yeah. I try to get her on the podcast, and it's not, doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah. I've asked her, like,
she could be.
Does she like you?
Dating the game right now.
She doesn't like.
No, she. I think she likes me. I mean, Marina's our co-host.
Yeah,
that's her roommate and best friend.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, she told me she doesn't. She's like, I don't make my schedule. Like, everything has to go through her agent, and then the agent's gonna be like, well, you know, what are the questions? And at that point, I'm like,
how much are we making?
Yeah. At that point, it's like, it's not fun. I don't want to have to, you know,
have to deal with all that. Yeah.
Yeah, but which is bullshit because, you know. I've been supportive of Ronda since day one. I mean, since day one. Before she was in, even like, as first fight in Strike Force, I was a fan. First fight. You know, I've been like.
I was too.
But, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to blast her. I mean, she's been cool a couple times. I had a friend that was, dying of brain cancer, a coach, and I asked her to tweet something out, and she did. So that was nice of her. So, you know, that was very nice of her.
Man, I mean, I think if you get to that kind of level of whatever celebrity status, it's hard to not change, you know, and not be, I don't know.
Yeah,
everything is scrutinized. Everything. If you put a picture up of, I mean, you could be off fight, right? You don't have, you just got off a fight. Say you fought the next day. You could put a picture of a McDonald's cheeseburger or a McDonald's breakfast sandwich, and they're gonna be like, oh my god, look at this here. I can't even believe. I mean, no matter what you do, I told you they killed Jesus.
You've told
them they killed Jesus.
Yes. Now, last week, we didn't talk about TJ Dillashaw officially left Team Alpha Male.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. He's now getting paid from Team Elevation. Uriah said something he said that you're turning on the family for some money.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Supposedly, though. Team Elevation, they're going to have Matt Brown on Team Elevation.
Yeah, I read that.
I read, this is all rumors. I think Front Row Brian posted it, that Matt Brown and Donald Cerrone, I guess they're trying to build like a super team.
Where's Elevation at?
In Colorado.
Oh, okay. Denver, right?
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Team Elevation.
It's at sea level.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing is, though, that I'm a little concerned about is for TJ. I mean, you had all these little monsters that he trained with. I mean, you had the Chad Mendes.
Yeah.
You had the Faber. You had the Touchy Feelies. You had the Cody No Loves. You had the
Lance Palmer.
Joseph Benavidez, Lance Palmers, all within TJ's weight class.
Yeah.
Is he really going to miss out now going to a team, even if he has Donald Cerrone and Lance? I mean, he's not going to train with Matt Brown and Donald Cerrone. I don't think they're a little big for him, no?
Yeah.
I mean,
Cody No Love's in what's the name's weight class? In Cerrone's weight class. But there's, I mean, he's.
I think Cody No Love's 145.
No.
He's 55?
Yes.
Really? Is no, he didn't. Because he beat Marcus Brumage. Brumage is 45. Because Brumage lost to Conor McGregor, who's 45.
I've actually seen him fight at 55. But
we're
going
to get fact-checked on this.
That is true. Okay. I could be wrong. Where's the MMA stat guy when you need him?
So, but I'm saying, do you think he's really going to miss out by not having those guys train with?
I definitely do think so, because he's got some of the best 135ers, 145ers in that one gym in Alpha Male. And then he's going to go over to Elevation. I don't know who was going to be at that level at that same weight class. Probably not. Probably not.
I mean, he got his coach, Dwayne Ludwig, and he's got Clay Guida supposed to be there, and Danny Castillo.
I think it's on a different level, because I've never been a guy about the people in the room. You know, it's about yourself. I think, you know, you can go to any gym and find yourself successful.
Well, but, I mean, it's hard.
I think it's more on the level of the fact that they know TJ. They know the ins, the outs, the goods, the bads, the secrets, the what makes him scared, what makes him happy, what makes him fight well, what makes him fight crappy, how his diet is. I mean, they know everything about him because, I mean, they grew, it's almost like he said, the family. They grew up with each other. It's like your brother leaving, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to fight. You know everything about your brother. You know how he works. You know how he ticks. You know. So I think it's more on a mental level where it could, you know, damage him in the long run.
135, he says, Corey Nerlove, by the way.
I don't think that's right either. He's definitely 45 or 55.
But I think he might be 35, but because he keeps calling out, Misha's, Brian Caraway was a 35. Now, is that good or bad, though? Like, the fact that they know him so much, because I know there are guys that I wrestled with that on my high school team that first day of practice, I would beat them 15 to nothing.
Last day of practice, 1-2.
3-2. But not like they got so much better. They just knew, they know my moves.
It's bad for TJ. That's what I was saying. The fact that he's leaving his home or his family is bad for him in the sense that, you know, one, mentally, that's your comfort zone. Those are your boys, you know, stuff like that. It's going to be a little tension.
Getting him better if they know everything? I mean, the fact that he has them every single day training with him, is that making him better? Or is getting new looks from different guys he's never trained with?
I think it could be either way. I think the new looks are going to be good for him because, you know, he doesn't have those guys that can take him down anymore, or, you know, those guys that move the way they move at FML. It's like a wrestling team. You know, when I was in college, Penn State, we did certain things from 125 to our heavyweight. We wrestled similar. At Iowa, a lot of them, they wrestle similar. They push. It's like in MMA, at Team Alpha Male, they all fight similar. You know, they all move kind of similar. So when he's going to go to Elevation and get new looks, then, you know, it kind of changes the scene for him a little bit. They don't all move the same there. They're not always looking for the takedown. The combination that they all practice over and over and over and they hit on each other aren't going to be the same combination.
I wonder if his style changes a little bit.
It will change a little
bit. But you're also looking at the champ, right? So you're changing a successful formula now.
That is true.
That's what you're taking something that is a proven works.
But not change is not always a bad thing. It's not going to be like he's going to change. He could change for the worse. That's obviously a possibility. But then he could change, evolve, add, and
for the better.
But
he made the jump like to stick with Dwayne Ludwig, right?
Yeah.
So his striking coach and stuff like that's going to be the same. But I was just going to ask, like, I think there's a lot of different theories. Obviously, like, it's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But also, if you're going to change, if you want to change and grow, you like sometimes you have to change. You know,
what's around
new
you.
Coach. Coaches, yep. New training partners, evolve. Camps or whatever. But
I mean, I have, you know, I've been around a little bit. I've been over to MMA Lab a little bit. I went to Power MMA. I've been in Alliance. Now I'm over at Kings. And, you know, I think that's part of my thing. You know, I have to be able to evolve. Grow, evolve.
You're a butterfly,
learn.
I'm a butterfly.
It's so interesting, Bubba, what you said. Like, I actually was thinking about that, how you were saying at Penn State, you're in the best room in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You go to ASU, and there's not one person ranked except for you and Robles.
Yes.
Right? And
then I go and pin a guy who's in the room with all these studs and big name guys and eventual national champ team.
So that really, I actually was like, wow, that's so true. When you went to ASU, were you just reckon with a king of the circle? Was it you every single time?
Yeah, that's how it was. But there were things that I was working on. It wasn't just, you know, I'm better than these guys, so I'm going to show them I'm better than them. There would be times where I was wrestling a tough kid. You know, we were Division I college, so it wasn't like they were scrubs. They were good. They're pretty good. But if I was wrestling this kid that I know I could tech fall, then I would only shoot left-handed shots on him. I wouldn't shoot my really good shots. I wouldn't shoot on the guys that I can beat up on. I wasn't hitting them with the best stuff. I was hitting them like with the worst things that I could do. So when I got to wrestling with other guys and they shut down my best stuff, I was already working and practicing on, you know, wrestling backwards.
What do you think about yesterday, Jordan saying, you're looking to do MMA because you don't want a real job. Is that,
I think he's crazy. I've been offered real jobs. I mean,
who's that?
People understand.
The guy
I'm fighting this guy, Jordan Parsons.
I mean, but first of all,
he's over at Alliance.
He was at Alliance.
Oh, he was.
They didn't like him. Oh, really? He's at Black Zillions now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I mean, to think that in itself is like, why would you pick MMA? Because you don't want a real job.
I was offered to stay on at Arizona State and get my master's degree and stay at a coach. I mean, I could coach anywhere in the country for wrestling. Nice. I've been offered really good military jobs. One time I got pulled over and the guy was like, you know, oh, you were speeding. I was like, yeah, I was on my way to practice. Oh, what do you do? I'm a wrestler. He's like, oh, yeah, how good are you? I was like, I was a national champ in college. He was like, you know, FBI is really looking for guys like you. You graduate? I was like, yeah, I graduated. He's like, I can get your job with the FBI tomorrow. and it really, he's like, here's my card. If you want to think about the FBI, you know, you don't got no criminal record. I was like, nah, this is the first time I've ever been pulled over. I mean, I've been, that's a stupid thing to say. There's plenty of guys that are MMA that could do other things. I mean,
but also, like, that would be the worst way to make a living.
It is.
I don't want to get a job where I don't get punched in the face every day.
He said a lot of asinine things, and that's just one of them, but for sure.
Sometimes I sit back and I say, why do I get punched in the face every day? Because I like these nice things I have.
Really?
But I mean, you know, I really sit back and think, like, man, this is hard. This is a hard profession.
The hardest. I honestly, I give you guys profession. So much credit.
I wanted to ask you, obviously you guys, anybody that's doing this at a highest level, like, you guys are doing this because you love what you do. The money's awesome, but like with the Woodley fight, you probably weren't feeling well after you got out of the hospital. But like, does it take some of the wind out of your sails? Like, if you got to forfeit some of your purse when you're going into a fight like that?
Hell yeah! It takes the wind out of your sails when you get a pay cut.
Well, no, but the thing is with the fight is like you want to win because of the you guys are competitors, right? And you want to win, and but also it's your pride and like
now, by the way, Woodley said he wouldn't take 30% of your purse. Did you actually keep that all?
Oh, that's right. He bothered me for like weeks. Hey, man, send me your address. I was like, man, I do not want your money. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Like,
did he give it to you?
He actually ended up sending the check to my gym.
That's a good guy right there, man. He didn't have to do that. And the fact that you said no, he could have kept it. Tyron Woodley, you're the fucking man.
I told him no multiple times.
That, you know what, Tyron? I've always respected you. But
you walk in the gym, though, and you get a check. You're just like, well, I guess
that's
kind of
what
it.
Happened.
I guess I got to take this. Anybody want this check? No.
Yeah, you're not
going to
do that.
I got a whole new respect for you, Tyron. Because a lot of guys would have just said, you know what? I'll just keep the money.
He was super cool about it. He didn't make me feel like shit about it, just like everybody else. But he was super cool.
That's pretty cool.
Now, by the way, yesterday during practice, it was funny. Like, so I coach middle school kids, and one kid, like, you know, they're 6, 7, 8. I can't go too hard on them. It's hard when kids say like I'm injured, because you always gotta assume they're injured, even if you know they're kind of pussing out. It's not like high school or college. Like, my coach would be like, I was in boarding school. There was no parents. It was like, you're going in there, whether you want to or not.
Oh, that sucks.
Whereas this, I got to be like, hey, I have a cold. All right, sit out. You know, it's okay. So this one kid's like, I have a headache every practice. Okay, well, let me know if you can wrestle. And then like 5 minutes later, my headache's feeling a little bit better. You want to wrestle? Not yet. I go,
thanks for telling me.
I finally, I'm like, all right, dude, no more updates. I go, I don't care. It's just either you're going to wrestle or not. Stop updating me on your headache. Okay? I don't care.
Tweet me when you're ready to go in.
And then, so then we have this kid, Max, who's actually like, he's really good. Like, I knew it. He did jiu-jitsu for like 3 years pre-wrestling. He stopped taking jiu-jitsu, which is good because, you know, these guys go to their backs if they take jiu-jitsu when they're younger. It's just they get confused. Or like,
they're pulling guard in a wrestling
match. They
see
that all the time. Or I had a kid that did judo and kept trying to grab the gi. I'm like, bro, you can't grab the shirt in wrestling. Yeah. So, but this kid, Max, is good, but he beats everybody up to the point where I'm worried that he's not going to come to practice anymore because he's beating everyone up. So I'm like, I'll go with him, right? I almost never go live, especially I got a torn ACL. I'm like, dude, if I hurt my leg now and these kids are all like, Max,
yo, moral of the
coach.
Story, you let a little kid beat you up, son?
No, I was doing
a little fifth grader just wrecked your day, dog.
No, I was going on top and I was pinning him, but I was showing him that I could win because I'm the coach. Yeah. Therefore, you have to listen to me. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
At the same time, I don't want to hurt the kid, and I don't want to let him. take me down or anything because my leg isn't. My leg could just shatter any second. Right. There's no reason I should be doing this. So
other than to keep the kids.
Other than to keep the kids.
It's about the kids, man. It's about the kids.
Honestly, so then I'm like, but then I'm feeling bad. I'm like, did I go too hard? Why did I have to pin him the whole time? But I was tilting him I was having fun with the kid, but I wasn't. I even asked Ashley. I'm like, do you think I was going too hard?
Nah.
She's like, no. Are you crazy? She's like, you know your weight. You know how. Nah. I mean, the kids seem happy.
That way,
like,
he knows.
Dude, I saw the picture though. You get some big kids in your wrestling.
I do. Group. I got this kid. This kid is like this kid Max is a beast. I just hope he doesn't quit. You know, it's so funny with wrestling because middle school, like I only have them twice a week. I have to push them enough where they enjoy the sport, but I don't want to over push them because I know there's a school Chaminade where their kids have like 60 matches during the year, like 70 matches. They have them in tournaments, freestyle. And their high school team sucks because
they all burn out before it comes.
They're all burned out.
Right. I'm not. You know what, Dad? I don't think next year we're going to do this. But it's high school. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody wanted to know what world championship you won at 14.
I didn't win a world championship.
Somebody said you won a world championship at 14 or something?
I won nationals a bunch of times when I was around that age, but I won junior worlds when I was 17, 18.
Tell what time is it, by the way? We got to call Phil Davis, I think, four.
Nice. It's 3:59.
Okay, hey, so we're going to call Phil.
Look at you.
Internal clock.
Right?
I was going to say, my coach, timing. I wrestled in high school and a little bit in college. My coach would always say, are you hurt or are you injured?
Yep.
He said, if you're hurt, then just, you know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get bumped up. You're going to get bruised. If you're hurt, keep practicing. If you're injured, he said, then don't whine about it. Go see the trainer and get it fixed. Right.
Yeah. Well, my experience with kids is 99% of the time when they're crying, they're not hurt. They're completely just scared. They've never done this before. They're frightened. But if you act frightened, it's like a baby. They're going to act even more frightened. Mm-hmm. So you have to act like just casual. The ones that really are hurt are the ones that are like, put me back in. And their finger is like falling off their body or their ears are gone. Like, those are the ones that you have to go, hey, all right, no more. That happens. You know?
But those are the studs.
Those are the studs. Yeah.
The ones that make it.
The ones
son are going to wrestle in high school.
There was one little kid, Justin. It was one of my favorite kids. He was like Eddie Murphy. At 12 years old, he would insult you and win any kind of rank out contest as the coach. I hated the kid. I loved him, but like he would the whole
time. He had
jokes. I would drive him to practice. He'd be like, "Man, how do you get any girls in this hoopty?" You know, he would just insult. He'd be like, "Man, I look at your Facebook profile. You only date sevens." Like we were driving to practice. Right, there was a sign saying "Anna versus leukemia," a girl dying of leukemia. He goes, "Coach, I got $10 on leukemia." I was like, "This is like." Meanwhile, he would fail every test, but he was his brain was beyond.
Oh, it's a little black kid, huh?
So I remember going to his house. I'd drive him to practice, and I would see him upstairs through the curtains, look out for Saturday practice, whatever, and he would go back to sleep. And then I'd ding-dong, and then I'd call him up and be like, oh, sorry, coach, I didn't hear you. So then finally, that happened twice. This time, I walked in his house. I went upstairs and go, get out of bed. He goes, you can't just break into my house. Let's go. So I made him go to practice. He goes, I can't believe there's gonna be laws against this, man. Like his mom was so proud of me that I did that because he didn't have a dad to do that.
No. Yeah.
But then he beat
nobody
me.
Nobody push him.
He beat me in a sprint. Right.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. So I'm like, all right, we're doing a 3 mile race.
Put the miles on him.
I knew there was no way he'd be able. So he quit after 1 mile. Funny. Right. Then he goes, waits on my car, and now I want to quit too because I proved that I could beat him, but I don't want to show him. So I had to run 3 fucking miles while he waited on my car for me. And he goes, haha, I just made you run 3 miles. You think? He somehow turned that into me losing this thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Little smart ass.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I got him into this high school. I wrote a letter for him, vouched for him, and he hasn't wrestled one day because of grades. I want to thank our sponsors, Remover Restoration. Has your business been vandalized? Have gang members taken over your storefront? Call Remover Restoration at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removerrestoration.com. Also, Decipher, DICYPHER. It's a lifestyle firm. They help all kinds of services like confidence building, advising celebrities to help you reach your goals, student advising, youth and teen coaching, whole family coaching. Talk to people in need of a friend. Employee life coaching, mental coaching. These guys do it all. So call Decipher. For Decipher, make sure you use the coupon code DODGEBALL. I'm drinking Kimera coffee, the best coffee I have ever tasted in my life. KimeraKoffee.com. Use the coupon code ROASTED. Also, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. Check them out. They have the best sports and signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, and everything else in between. And finally, tip a fighter. It's time to change the game. Let's get these fighters paid. Go to tipafighter.com at tipafighter. You could tip Ashley Evan Smith. You could tip all kinds of people. Great fighters. Kevin Lee. He's another guy you could tip. Amazing athletes are with Tip a Fighter. Tip Bubba when he beats Jordan Parsons, because I can't wait for that fight. Now, you train with Jordan?
I don't think I got to ever train with him, no.
You never actually roll with him? Could you give Bubba any inside scoops?
No, I don't think I ever got to train with him, no.
Mm. All right, well, thanks for your help.
Yeah, I just... No.
Nah, all right, okay.
No, I didn't train with him at all.
Bob and Weed, move your head, double leg.
So this week, World Series of Fighting, John Fitch taking Okami. Me and Kelvin are picking Fitch. Bubba's picking Okami, and you're picking...
Because I'm going against the grain.
Fitch. You're picking Fitch, okay. Fitch. Matt Hamill taking on Vinny Magalhães.
Ooh.
I like Vinny. That fight. I think Vinny's got it.
I think Vinny's got it.
I don't Vinny know Magalhães. Enough about Vinny.
Vinny's he's a black belt. He's on the Ultimate Fighter.
Vinny? You don't remember Vinny? He was our jiu-jitsu coach. He was my jiu-jitsu coach on Tough 17.
Hanato Laranja does not care for him at all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We had him on the thing.
They got beef.
So Vinny made the finals against Ryan Bader.
I do remember Vinny. I haven't seen him fight, though. Isn't he the one that was calling out my boy Phil? Back in the day?
He fought Phil.
Yeah,
Davis.
He fought Phil. Yeah, he was calling him out.
Phil Davis won. Phil.
Okay, then I'm going with the other guy.
You're picking up Matt Hamill's kind of... I feel like Matt Hamill kind of seen his best days, though.
Yeah. He's past
his prime.
All right, I guess. Yeah. I guess if I was doing DraftKings, I would go with the other guy. But I'll go with Hamill because...
All right.
Just because. Okay. I mean, I don't got no money on it. I ain't got no horse in the race. I'll go with Hamill just because you're counting him out. He's the underdog. I'm an underdog story guy. Let's go with him.
Also, Nick Newell is taking on Tom Marcellino.
Nick Newell, baby!
I don't know much about Tom Marcellino, but I like Nick Newell.
I like Nick Newell a lot. He gave me my first free high in training.
First what?
Free high. You know how, like, when you get choked out, and then they say, oh, have you been choked out, and then someone let it go, and then you're like, oh, wow, what was that?
Oh,
You kind of get that free high, like me and Ashley were talking about yesterday.
Okay, me and Bubba have a debate over this. Bubba seems
ain't going
to
be a good debate.
It's totally fine to get choked out during practice because it's a free nap. Now, I am under the belief that it's terrible to get choked out because your body's shutting
off. He thinks that every time you get choked out, the next time you get choked out, you go out quicker.
I don't know.
I said that's more of a knockout thing.
That's more of a knockout thing, but I don't think it's healthy to get choked out all the time, right?
I've never been choked out.
In practice. So what are you doing?
Or in a fight.
What do you do? What, you like tap before you go out?
Or in a fight.
Yeah.
So in practice, you tap before you go out.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not tapping in practice.
I don't go to sleep in practice, bro. I don't go to sleep in practice. Like, I'll tap in practice.
You said last week that you go to sleep every practice.
No, that's not. We took it out of context. Not what I meant. I get choked out a lot in practice. You know, just working on different things and trying to find my weaknesses with my wrestling and stuff like that. So we're still gaining in that area. But I'm talking about like when there's something on the line and I'm watching fighters in the cage that are getting choked out and then they're tapping when it's just a choke in the cage. I would never do that if it was just a choke.
You're just gonna go out.
I'm just gonna go out, bro.
You?
It's like we just said, it's a free net. If I'm getting choked in the cage, I'm just gonna...
I mean, I've never been choked out in a fight. I don't know.
Have you ever tapped out in practice? In practice.
Yeah, in practice.
I think there are some guys that tap out too much in practice, like when they're not really, that they get so used to tapping out.
They just get scared that something's happening.
They get into a fight, they tap before they were actually in danger. But yeah. I think that's way, way less than guys that, I don't want you taking naps in practice. Okay?
No, I don't go to sleep in practice.
Yeah, I don't think it's very
whether
healthy.
Whether it's sparring or choking, I don't go to sleep in practice.
I'd be tapping on my way to the gym. Nobody heard me.
You know what? I'm out of this.
Do you guys do a lot of drilling? Do you start in like, with like drilling like a position where like you start in a choke?
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Yeah. You do position drilling. Yeah. Like literally arm out guillotine, guys on his back, guys legs up. You're literally in the worst position.
Fully has it.
And then they
half
go
locked triangle. Right. Or,
and then they say go. And you're like, ah.
And you got about six seconds to get out or get.
It's part of, you know, knowing what it feels like to be there, knowing where your escape route is when that happens in the fight. You know, it's all
being
about that.
Being put in that, in the worst possible positions ever and knowing how to react in that position. Yeah. That's why we do it.
Does your girlfriend ever like try to choke you out and you're like, I'm not going out? Or
no? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, also fighting is Rick Glenn. Rick Glenn's a good fighter this week. And Colton Smith is fighting. Another Ultimate Fighter winner, Colton Smith.
Yeah. Oh, is that the Army guy?
The Army guy.
Yeah, nice.
He's fighting Washington Nunez de Silva. I don't know who that guy is, but...
I'm going with Colton. I like Colton. He's
like
a tough guy.
I like Colton a lot, too. He's a good guy. Yeah. Real good guy.
Yeah, so he can rub a lot of people the wrong way, though. I've seen people not really like Colton.
Well, he got off to a bad start in the first Ultimate Fighter when he went to go shake the guy's hand and he shot a double leg.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone hated him from then on.
Yeah, but, I mean, you don't do that. Come on.
Has anyone ever done that to you?
No.
You?
No, but today we were sparring and it was one of those, like, you know, grind them out sparring kind of days. And, you know, they were like, shake hands. And I went to go shake my guy's hand. It was AJ. And you know, a lot of times you're playing with your friends, you know what I'm saying? They go out of bounds and they're coming back in bounds and you sneak a punch, like, you know, it ain't a knockout punch, but you sneak a punch around the bag, you know, just messing around. And I went to fake like I was going to touch his gloves up before the round and I just jabbed him in the face. It was definitely an asshole move by my part, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
But that's your boy.
Yeah. That's my boy. Yeah. But no, I've never in a fight. The LaRue Burley fight, the one that I lost, it actually threw me off. That was I learned a lot from that fight, the one that I lost, the first one that I lost, because I was, you know, all about the fight. I was all about the respect, and I came out to shake his hand, and he didn't shake my hand, and it immediately pissed me off, which immediately got my blood going, which immediately got me to gas and go, I'm going to kill you. You know, I was ready to, like, get after him after he wouldn't shake my hand when I should have just, you know, stayed relaxed and stick to the game plan. After he didn't shake my hand, I went to, like, I'm going to kill you mode.
Some guys like to shake hands. Some guys don't. You know.
And you do that. Now fighters, you'll see fighters when the referee's like, are you ready? Are you ready? They'll be over there like, hey, we going to do this? Or are you going to embarrass me?
Some guys wave it off and say no.
Yeah. Now, do you find that most of the guys you fought, you've been pretty cool with, right?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a fighter that you didn't like before the fight or that you just hated or you wanted to really trash talking?
No.
I know in the Ellenberger fight, he was talking shit to you during the weigh-in. What did he say to you?
He came up to me and said, oh, you're going to break me? You're going to break me? I'm going to break your fucking jaw.
Wow.
Is what he said. And I just nodded and said, okay.
You said, okay?
I said, okay.
Oh, man. I don't know. What someone said I'm going to break my jaw, I'd be like, that's not nice.
Right?
That's not a considerate thing to do. By the way, okay, so we're going to try Phil Davis again right now. Hello?
Goodness gracious, I said 5, not 15.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so we got Phil Davis on the call. Phil Davis is a national champion, a former UFC badass. He just won the Bellator title. The first ever tournament title. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Tyler Bowe, Bubba Jenkins, and Kelvin Gastelum. How are you, man?
Hey, Kate Gas, you on here, man?
What up, Phil? How you doing, bro?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, we're hanging out, man. How you doing?
Now, where's this dude, Adam Hunter?
I'm right here, man. How are you, man?
Good. So what's going on, fellas? What are we talking about?
We're talking about you, man. You won the Bellator. You beat Emmanuel Newton. You won that. I mean, you just dominated in impressive fashion. You got your first knockout, right? Was that the first time you ever knocked anybody out?
No, not my first knockout, but my first knockout recently.
Yeah,
that was beautiful.
First knockout of a pretty good guy.
No, you're right. Against Francis Carmont, who's a really good fight. Now, how did that feel? I mean, how did that feel winning the whole thing?
Oh, you know, it was a great experience, and I mean, just my Bellator debut was had a lot of nerves going in, and I really wanted to make a good impression. Both on Bellator and Spike, and so you know, definitely felt good to get a big win, a knockout, and a first round submission. I mean, I'm elated, man.
It was awesome. You beat
what
Bubba's.
What more can I do? Now, what more can I say?
Now, Bubba tells us that you took him on his recruiting trip, Penn State, right?
Yes.
Now, he was saying that when you wanted him to come so bad, you took him out. You guys partied tons of chicks. It was a wild night. He said you showed him a Penn State that there was no way he was not going to go to Penn State afterwards. Is this true?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Smart man, that guy, I tell you.
but that, I mean, that all sounds very reasonable. That very well could have happened.
No, I mean, he just said it was tons of...
I show Bubba around, and I told Coach, I was like, no, I personally want to show Bubba around because he has to come to Penn State. He has to. And Bubba and I had like a special relationship. Like after while he was being recruited, we were texting back and forth. After his official visit, we were texting back and forth. He's asking about this on the team. Hey, is this guy going to be ready? He's going up against one of my guys. I'm like, yeah, he's going to trash him. You know what I mean? Like we had a whole special relationship, different from pretty much all my other teammates.
Nice. Now, so I mean, now he said that, like, so that night, did Bubba get laid on his recruiting trip? Tell us.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure, but I cannot be.
There are some missing nights. There's some missing hours. I was gone.
Nice. Nice.
If I had to guess, I would say yes.
Good work. Good work, man. Good work. Now, yeah.
I mean, I didn't sign with Penn State for the weather, you know.
Now, we all know what happened with Bubba, how Bubba left. He left Penn State, went to ASU. He says it was because the coaches didn't like him. He had a bad reputation. What really happened? Tell us the truth. What went on in Penn State?
Well, I mean, honestly, when he left, they had a change of staff. They got Kel Sanderson, and you know, here's the thing. Bubba's Bubba, and he rubs some people the wrong way, and you have to either love the way he is or you don't. And I think it just came down to Coach Kel came in, he wanted to, like, put his foot down like nobody does anything. And that's kind of, you kind of have to, when you've been with a coach for 4 years or 5 years, You're kind of lenient towards the seniors. You don't let them get away with murder, but at the same time, you don't treat them like freshmen.
Yeah.
And so Coach Kel comes in, and he's putting his foot down, and he doesn't care whose butt it lands in. So
right.
And then the backdrop of that is we also have a super stud red shirt who's coming in. He's redshirting. He's getting better, and we want him to wrestle in Bubba's spot, who ended up being David the Man Taylor, who's a beast. But, you know, as we later found out, Bubba had sweet redemption against him. So he set the record straight.
And then who was the guy that told on you that you beat later?
Frank Molinaro.
Frank Molinaro. What's up with Frank Molinaro? This guy, he told on Bubba? He was a big narc?
Oh, Frank told on you?
Yeah, Frank was snitching. See, the thing was, Phil was more of like the guy who I still advise. Like, when my senior year, Phil was already in the fighting, and he kind of influenced me, like, you know, this is probably where you should go after you're done with college wrestling. You know, so that's why I even thought about going to Arizona, because of the big, you know, ASU Sun Devils MMA thing that was starting to rise up. Not only that, I wanted to move west to get more into MMA. That's where I think, you know, wrestling's on the East Coast kind of style, but MMA is more on the west. So I started planning what I was going to do. So I was getting more advice from Phil while I was still at college about, you know, the next moves to make, the next things to do. And, you know, he was advising me from being out of college, being a graduate from Penn State, a national champ. So he had a lot of great things to tell me and a lot of, you know, advice that I listened to along the way. So
nice.
It was just different.
Now, Phil, every time I go do a show in San Diego and you come, you bring the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life, who's somehow you meet training. I've never seen girls like this in a gym. I mean, these are just tens. Is that still going on?
Whoa.
Have you settled down?
Oh, yeah.
Or
oh, yeah.
She's She's still around. She's actually right next to me.
Oh, nice. Nice. She's
actually right next to me. So I have to be nice to her, at least for right now.
She's tell her we said hi.
She was smoking hot.
Adam Hunter and the guy say hello. Kate Gass and Bubba J.
Yay, yeah, yay.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going, That is my
fiance,
brother.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice. Future thank Mrs. Wonderful.
That girl was Mrs. Wonderful, absolutely. Now,
future Mrs. Wonderful.
Now, what happened at your gym? Somebody said, like, a couple months ago, one night, like, 12 guys just took off. They ran away from your gym. what happened?
You know, honestly, it was only, like, three or four guys, but Alliance, our gym has been it's for a while our gym was almost too big. It had too many people in it. I'm not even talking about just like I'm talking about just the pros. At one time, pro team training had around 20-25 guys who were in the UFC. Now, I don't mean to be, that's too many. It's kind of too many.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because at that point, you know, you got guys that are going to fight. You know you do. And that's not even the reason why they left. The reason why they left is they had another place where they could train or where they wanted to train. They thought they would get a better training atmosphere. And, I mean, it's that way in amateur sports. It's that way in professional sports. If you think this coach over here can get you to the upper level, well, go over there. That is what it is. As far as I know, nobody's beefing about anything well, nothing involved me.
Right? Yeah. No. No. I think they were just saying that like they were not getting enough attention from certain coaches. That they just you know.
And that happened. I mean, one man is like I said, he's coaching a team of 25 guys in the UFC. I can tell you guys, they do shows every week. You already know somebody. It's got to give somewhere.
Right. Right. Now I know Gustafson didn't train last week for his last fight with you guys. How come?
I'm not sure, but you know, it's kind of a back and forth thing. Like depending on the fight or depending on the timing, he'll come out and he'll do a fight camp. So, that one I don't know for sure.
Now you're the first guy to leave. Sure, you're the first guy to basically leave the UFC on your own free will. A lot of guys like they get cut, but you were the first guy to really just say, you know what, I'm going to Bellator. They're offering me more money, right?
Right. I love how you said that. First guy to leave on his own free will, like they beat you up before they send you off. It's exactly that. You know, we as professional athletes, I mean, you have got to protect yourself and get your money while it's there. I mean, it's right. I take the best offer on the table. Before I was in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I took the best offer on the table. I could go and fight for these guys or I could fight for the UFC. And the UFC was by far the best offer on the table. It was by far the best. Now, if that changes and we're no longer and the UFC doesn't have the best offer on the table, I mean, what is my – what? It's absolute lunacy to be loyal. I mean, what is it about? It's not about the bottom line. What am I doing it for?
But do you think maybe, though, that you're going to like – okay, you're beating good guys. I mean, you're beating great guys. Mm-hmm. The guys that you beat, Emmanuel Newton could hang with anybody in the UFC. These guys could hang with UFC fighters.
Absolutely.
But is there a little bit of like, okay, let's say you beat Liam McGarry, which I think you will. You're the Bellator champion, but you're still top five in the world. Is there a little bit of unfulfilling of going, oh man, yeah, I'm the Bellator champion, but I think I could probably be the UFC champion.
Yeah, that check says different though.
Yeah. Hey, let's change it. Let's not even talk about me. Okay, let's talk about somebody else that I like talking about. Should LeBron stay in Miami and take a pay cut, or should he go to Cleveland and never win?
He should not take a pay cut. I mean, you got to worry about you. I mean, fighting is
you
a very.
You should never take a pay cut. You should never take a pay cut.
I feel like that's a different discussion, though, because LeBron's a bajillionaire. So
no. Listen, me and LeBron, and we're not similar.
We're black, and you know, no, we're kind
of
tall.
I'm saying, unfortunately, you are at the top of your sport, and you're not making that LeBron money.
Yeah. No, definitely not. But the principle remains. No, I mean, you should go for the most money. I mean, when people say, well, you don't have as many rings as Kobe, okay, so what? Is the man a beast on the court by himself? Yes. Yes, he is. You know what? I don't need someone else's validation of, you didn't beat this guy or that guy. Guess what? I don't care. I'm judging the check.
Right.
You know, and I understand that. And if it was somebody else, I would say yes. But I know, Phil, that you're good enough to beat those guys. That's the issue. You know what I'm saying? If it was somebody else, like even with like Josh Thompson, okay, Josh Thompson, who's a great fighter, I don't know if he can potentially beat the number one guys in the UFC, number two, three guys. He may, you know, maybe on his best night, someone might have it off. But Phil, I just feel like with you, like your two losses, because I don't even think that the Ryan Bader was a loss. I think they were kind of looking. You were such a favorite; they were looking to give Bader the rounds that were close. Kind of like with you and Kelvin. Kind of with you and Woodley. I felt like it was a very close fight. It could have went either way. Your only two losses, I believe, were to Rashad Evans and to Anthony Johnson. I don't believe Rashad Evans is the same fighter that we saw last week who fought you.
I tell you what, he definitely didn't seem like the same guy.
Yeah.
You wish you had that guy.
But, you know, I don't want to bash Rashad, you know. He's beat up a lot of guys. And, you know, it honestly, to me, Rashad looked like he was, like, ill, like, sick on, like, he was maybe, you know, just not 100%.
Right, absolutely. So, I mean, I really think the guys that will give you the most trouble in the UFC are Anthony Johnson, Daniel Cormier, and John Jones. Those are the three guys that I think that you match up well enough, but those are going to be your mm-hmm. toughest three guys. But you're right there. Yep. I mean, right? You're right. So do you plan on ever going
Definitely.
Back? Do you plan on maybe winning the Bellator belt and then maybe come back and try to merge the belts?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I will warmly welcome a return, but at the same time, I don't want to disrespect the promotion with them that I'm with, because they were willing to do something that they weren't. they had the better contract.
Right. How much more money did you make with them?
About 25-30%.
Wow, that's a big jump.
Actually, no. More than that.
Looking like a smart move, Mr. Wonderful.
hey, let me tell you, the last fight was a good fight, dude.
Yeah, well, them Bellator checks don't bounce.
Yeah,
yeah. I even got it. I'm one of those dudes who always has a new nickname. You know what I mean? Bubba knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I just cycle through nicknames. So I got a new one that night, and it was Four Check Philly.
Yo, Four Check Philly, what's up, baby?
Nice.
That's
four
great.
Four checks in one night.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. Now, you now, what do you think about John Jones? You think he's gonna come back or what?
You know, I hope so, man. I hope so. You know, he's paid his debts, and well, I guess he's still technically still paying them, but you know, he's done what he needs to do, and you know, I like to see him back.
Yeah, me too. It's a shame, because you're just like, how many athletes do we have to see fuck up their prime of their career because of stupid mistakes?
Yeah.
I mean, Lawrence Taylor. I mean, how many other like Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry. Now we're gonna put John Jones in that mix. Of just guys that could, you're going to be like,
Ricky Waters.
I mean, you're just like, oh.
Shit, like, Ricky Williams.
Most guys named Ricky.
I mean, it's like we've
Ricky
seen
Bobby.
This.
Rick Fox.
Rick Fox. It's like we've seen this before.
Ricky
though.
Bobby could have been good in college.
all of Bell Biv DeVoe. No, but I'm saying, it's like we've seen this before. It's like, come on, man. We've seen this story happen before, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way,
I mean, you know,
I'll go on.
Go ahead.
No, go on. Go ahead, Phil.
By the way,
No, what were you saying?
I was just saying, man, it's just one of those things that just kind of happens, you know, once you're gaining so much popularity and notoriety, and it's, I don't know, you start losing some of that, some of the people around you would keep you out of making dumb decisions.
Yeah. Do you have those people around you?
No. I think so.
Bobby, you have those people?
The same people around me.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I pride myself in being the same person that they knew in middle school. You know, whenever I go back home, not one person says that I've changed, you know. And I always go back, whether I'm there for 2 days, 3 days, 1 day, I always go back to those people that that helped me get to where I am. All my mentors, I stop by and see them for at least 10 minutes. You know, if I have more, I spend more time with them. But I hit every house. My high school wrestling coach, my high school lawyer who helped me through a lot of different things. Like, just, I go back and hit every house.
Is that because you owe them money? Or
no. They would, even if I owed them money, they were the type of people that would never accept
it. Wait, why do you have a high school lawyer?
I had a guy who advised me on a lot of different things.
Hey, listen,
hey, look, shit happens.
People catch cases.
It don't matter what age you are. People catch cases.
Son. You're not a high school lawyer?
Is this a lawyer you had in high school, or like a Doogie Howser type high school kid who passed the bar?
No, this is a lawyer I had in high school.
Seriously, why did you have a high school lawyer? For real, tell us.
True story, Bubba. But looking back, that could have been a blessing in disguise. You know, you learned that lesson early.
Early.
What, you got to go pregnant in high school?
Early.
No. why would you need a lawyer for that?
Well, what
we love prenups. We want prenups. Yeah. No, look, I got my senior year, I was the number one recruit in the country. I was, you know, the guy. I got expelled for getting fellatio, oral fellatio, outside of school. I wasn't in school, and I was outside of the parameters of, you know, 30 minutes before the bus comes and 30 minutes after the bus drops you off. So they tried to expel me for it. It was a crazy case.
Wait, you got a blowjob at the bus stop?
No, I got a blowjob.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it was extra, man.
It was just nuts. Like, I couldn't even leave out. I had, outside of my house, there were probably five or six news TV crews, and seriously, I was in every newspaper. I was on every radio station. They had a riot, not a riot, but they had a protest on the radio station, my local radio station. This is when that song getting some head. They said they were going to play it until they put me back in school. They played it for 39. It was amazing. They played it for 39 days straight.
It was worth it.
Yeah, but it was definitely worth it.
Okay.
The only thing I lost, Maryland turned their scholarship from 100% scholarship to an 80% scholarship.
Wow.
But my boy Matt Derlin, who I said you kind of resemble, he was all about it. He never wavered. Loyalty.
What did your mom say when she found out you got head?
My mom always knew that, you know, I was a handsome kid and I was prom king, homecoming king, you know, captain of the team. So she already knew, you know, I was that Hollywood story kind of guy. Like Phil said, Bubba gonna be Bubba, dog. Yeah. Hey, Bubba gonna be Bubba. But the thing was, I wasn't in school. It wasn't during, you know, a school time. It was literally like I got out of school. I took a girl home with me. I had a match that night.
White girl?
No, she was not a white girl.
She was black?
No, she was not a black girl.
What was she?
She was a Colombian Guatemalan chick.
Wow.
Colombiana.
So there was coke on your dick.
Dodgeball. Anyways, I was completely off of school ground, completely out of the school district area, all that good stuff, and they still tried to expel me for it. So
how did they find out?
It's a long story, but a couple kids said that they heard or they rumored, and once the rumor got back, everyone's got that high school teacher that is cool with all the students, right?
Yeah.
Well, that teacher hated me because one of her favorite students had a massive crush on me, and chick wasn't all that hot, and you know, and she thought I was fooling myself because I didn't want to date that girl.
Wow.
And I was just like, that's not my type of girl. And that teacher was cool with everybody, but not cool with me. So as soon as she heard rumors of, oh, you know, Bubba J just took that chick on, Bubba J just took this chick on, she was just like, oh, really?
You had to go to court, and then
I had to go. I had to go to nine appeals, though,
because
they expelled me. They wouldn't let me back in. I didn't go to my state tournament. There was a lot of stuff that happened. I end up going to a new school for the last 2 months of my senior year, winning nationals, being their only national champion, being the new guy that was on TV at high school.
Going to a new school your senior year
and winning nationals. You're goddamn right. It don't stop, son. It don't stop. The winning don't stop.
By the way, Phil.
The
so
winning don't stop.
By the way, so Bubba's fighting one of your former teammates, Jordan Parsons.
Yes.
Any advice for Bubba?
When you're an alliance fighter, that is a hedge of protection. Okay, we put around you, teach you everything we got for you. Once you leave that hedge of protection, I can't help you, baby.
You're in trouble, baby. You're trouble.
On your own, Jordan.
Fair game. Fair game.
I'm a chop him.
He's a cool cat. He's a cool dude. It's gonna be a great fight. I can tell you that. Because Jordan, I mean, what do you do? Knock out the last two dudes.
He tapped the last guy.
I mean, he's terribly. He's really talented, but at the same time, ain't no Bubba J show.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. And now Kelvin's fighting Matt Brown. Any advice for Kelvin?
No.
Man, Kelvin don't need no advice.
What do you mean?
You don't need no advice, Kelvin. Go out, do what you do, man.
All right. That's perfect advice.
Strong as you are, Kelvin, nobody can tell you nothing.
Phil, any advice?
I heard.
You know, Kelvin is the strongest person. Well, he half the time we weigh the same amount, but he's.
I'm at light heavyweight most of the time. Forget Matt Brown. Any advice for the weight cut?
No, I honestly heard that they were doing the UFC special on Kelvin for your last fight against Ewan Ellenberger, and they went and like. You were living on a boat at the time?
Yeah.
And like, so they go into his boat, and he's eating cheeseburgers and, like, fries.
What?
And your place was disgusting.
No.
There was like
not
three,
at all.
Like three Mexicans on the boat. No, this didn't happen?
This did not happen at all. Erroneous information.
This is what Luke Barnard told me.
No. He was living with me. What are you kidding me?
All right. So you weren't eating cheeseburgers on the boat?
No.
Oh, okay.
I actually made weight that time.
Oh, that time. Good. Now, how much do you weigh now, by the way?
Right now, like a little under 195, 193, 195 right now, okay, which is still a little ways to go. Yeah, still a little ways to go. I don't want to get too light, but what's up, brother?
So they got you working with a nutritionist now?
Yeah, George Lockhart.
Okay.
George, he's good, George Lockhart.
Yeah.
Has it been a big difference or not really?
Yes, it's been a big difference, man. I started camp at, like, no lie, 210.
No, he looks lean, man. He, from looking at him right now and knowing what he looked like before when we were on Ultimate Fighter show, because he definitely looked like he had a burrito or two when we were on the show. Now he's looking pretty lean, man. He looks good, and he feels solid, you know?
Yeah, no, I've been working with George Lockhart for 3 weeks now. Man, I can feel already the difference in my body.
So you like it better than Mike Dolce?
Well, they're just different, you know?
Why?
Look at you trying to create some beef. So you like them better? Shouts to Mike Dolce.
Yeah, I love Mike Dolce. He's good people. It was just miscommunication between our relationship, and that ended up being weird, so I just left it alone.
I said baked chicken, not fried chicken, son.
Yeah.
So when's the wedding, Phil?
Where?
When?
Oh, when? November 1st.
Oh, wow. It's coming up.
Ooh.
Yeah,
nice.
Buddy, it's coming.
Wow.
It is coming.
Nice. So.
You nervous?
Yeah, you nervous?
you cutting weight for it or what? We should do a press conference.
Yeah, I can think of a lot more stuff to be nervous about. So,
like the bachelor party.
You'll be on the bachelor party.
In the middle of like a food pairing or whatever they do. They like you taste all the food that you're going to have. It's pretty dope, man.
Nice.
It's pretty dope.
Now she's a mixed girl, right? She was mixed?
Yes.
Yes. No, she was very exotic.
She is Korean and Mexican.
Korean?
What?
Yeah,
Korean and Mexican. I've never seen that.
Never been done before.
Konnichiwa, bonita.
Yeah. So that was Japanese.
So she,
close enough. Yeah, let's try.
So she eats her pet chihuahua. Hello?
Hello.
She hung up the phone for him.
Enough of this.
She hung up the phone.
But nice, no, I got my invite, Phil. I will be there in my beautiful blue and pink tuxedo.
Blue and pink. Like it.
Well, listen, Phil, listen, congratulations, man. You're killing it, dude. I'm really proud of you, man. You're happy. You're one of the best fighters in the world. It's an honor to have you on the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, what's next for you, Adam? When are you coming back down to San Diego?
First week of November. November 6th and 7th. I'll be in San Diego at the Comedy Palace. I got a lot of new jokes. I will be there. And then I got a new show coming out on TV. It's going to start airing pretty soon. I can't say the network, but we're filming it next week. Me and Bubba, Tyler. So I got a new TV show. And then I'm writing the MMA awards, which I'm going to put Cruz's. I got Kelvin in a sketch, and I'm making one for you too, Phil.
Ooh.
So I'd love to get you in one as well, Bubba. So thank you, man. And I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Later, Phil.
All right. Y'all fellas be cool.
All right.
Take care. Nice guy, man.
He's always one to interview. That's for sure.
He's funny, man.
He's always
30% more than that. I mean, you can't blame a guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't blame him.
And me and Phil have a very similar situation, but he literally, we're like, I can't say we're the same person, but we're very similar because he's got a little boy and he's got his fiance and he's feeding his family in a sense. Like his son's maybe, we went out, so his phone was two. His son's probably like 3 or 4 years old. So he's literally like 4 years older than me. So where his life is where I'm headed, you know, kind of thing. And the decisions that he's making, the decisions that he's made are very similar to the ones that I made and I would make. You know, if I was in a position where the contract, not even just the contract, better to feed my family here than to feed my family there just because people are saying, oh, you could do this, you can do that. I'm going with feeding my family in the best way possible. You know, that's something, that's the bigger picture. You really don't worry about the people on Twitter and the people that are in your ear or the people that are in your DMs because they're not the people that are at home when all the electronics are off and you're just having family time. Those are the people that you really have to impress, love, show that you care for, and take care of.
Yeah, he's such a, yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, listen, that is our show today. Tyler, what do you got coming up?
Like I said, Irvine this weekend, maybe the haha. Trying to get back at it.
I'm at the House of Comedy in Phoenix Wednesday night, which is coming out Thursday. So Thursday through Sunday, House of Comedy in Phoenix. Bubba, what do you got?
Yo, I punched the sand out of that punching bag that I had Parson's face on. So right now I'm working on getting a new punching bag, but same picture. You know, other than that, I'm feeling good, ready to
nice.
Go.
Nice.
And Kelvin, what about you?
Nice. So I got UFC Monterey. Other than that, I'm working on passing the new Batman game.
Nice.
Dude, I'm 40% done.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Kelvin.
Thank you.
Your maturity is amazing. So listen.
No, man, I got nothing going on. All I got is training for the next 6 weeks.
Card.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty excited about it and training real hard for it. And fuck, I'm excited for it.
Well, I'm excited too. So, people, Tip a Fighter at tipafighter.com. Go to Tip a Fighter. Let's make these guys money. American Icon Autographs, the best sports and celebrities, memorabilia and events, AIASE.com. Sean is a great dude. D-Cypher, D-I-Cypher, C-Y-P-H-E-R, the lifestyle firm. It's got everything for negotiation services included, mediations, contract evaluations, MMA fighters and boxing, contract negotiations, car sales negotiations, mergers and acquisitions negotiations, real estate negotiations. These guys will do it all. So hit them up, di/cypher.com. Kamara Coffee, the best coffee in the business. Got Nootropics, KIMERAKOFFEE.com. Use the coupon code ROASTED. Also for D-Cypher, use the coupon code Dodgeball. And Remove It Restoration. If your place has been vandalized with graffiti, you need to get it off. RemoveItRestoration.com. Thank you.